Quincy Troop, Quincy Troop is, hello, we know you're all here for the next speaker. Quincy Troop, who is returning to St. Louis. Like Halley's Comet, he periodically does this. And is well known to some of you as a son of the city, as it were. He's well known to others for his literary work, first as the editor of a seminal anthology called Giant Talk, which introduced into American literature some of the leading writers of third world countries, including Gabriel Garcia Marquez, his first appearance in American editions. Quincy is the author of two books of poetry, Snakeback Solos and Skulls Along the River, recipient of the American Poetry Award for one of them. He teaches at the College of Staten Island in New York, where he is active arranging different events of this nature, and is currently a senior editor of River Styx magazine, where he has gathered some of the most exciting voices and visual artists around. So it's a great pleasure, as always, to have the opportunity to bring to you Quincy Troop.
I like to, coming back to St. Louis is always wonderful. You know, it's always wonderful on a number of levels. And but I'd like to seriously acknowledge and dedicate this evening to my mother, Dorothy Marshall, who's sitting over there. My stepfather, Charlie Marshall, is also sitting there. Artemis, who's sitting there, who I grew up with. And my good friend and old, long lost, but just found friend, James Bryan. Not because, but because I think people help to shape whatever you are in life, and you cannot go any place or do anything without that shaping. I've been writing prose for the last year, and so I'm going to read some old poems because, and a couple of new ones, because I've been writing prose. I finally finished a novel that I've been working on for 7 years, so I couldn't. I've never found the ability, I haven't the ability to be able to write both at the same time, like poetry and prose. You know, I don't know why, but I can't do it. Shit, I tried to use my foot, you know, but it didn't work. You know, between the big toe, tried to do it, couldn't have no balance. So I'm going to read these poems about St. Louis because of the fact that I'm from here. And I always like to begin whatever I do with that. And I don't like to introduce and say too much about the poems. I just like to read them. This is the longest talk I'll do about poems. And I'll just read the poems and let them work. Or if they don't work, they don't work. But I'm just going to read them. Skulls Along the River, from my mother, Dorothy Marshall, and my father, Quincy Troop Sr., great baseball player, who brought me here and is the reason for this madness. Up from New Orleans on riverboats from the Gulf of Mexico, memory carries sweet legacy of niggerland speech, brown tongue bluesing muddy water. Under bottom spirits crawling, nightmares of shipwrecked bones, bones gone home to stone. To stone. Bones gone home to stone. to stone. River-bottomed, underbelly spirits, bones gone home to stone, I say. Bones gone home to stone, I say. Skulls along the river. And the faces of these faceless bones unknown, screaming arpeggios of stitched memory in cold light. Cadences of blues, shrinking sun sprays, shrieking with every turning of black bone arm clocks. And it is the collected face of collected memory that wears the metaphor of collected dust. The collected mathematics of lamenting calibrations, hieroglyphics, cracking and peeling and curling in stone, dust storms swirling around edges, bones white as chiclet teeth in memory, cloning, the images come locked in whatever, death there forever, forever locked in time, death there forever, and forever locked in time. And in time, we suffer because we must. There is no other way to find beauty. There is no other way to find love. We suffer because we must. There is no other way home to find the memory. And oh, the skeletons that have passed my cracking eyeballs, seeking true cadence within the lamenting calibrations of music. History rattling dice bones on their worn out knees, the already dead scraping earth breath for an even deeper death. The ultimate transmissioning migration. And oh, you midnight men of peppermint moons, rooster claw soliloquies, weight raking at vision's corner, heroes emerging from sand-blasted history books, grant me leather flesh of your leather-worn wisdom, oh, blood-drenched grave diggers, anthrocytic soothsayers. Oh, mellow prophets of crushed grapes and stomped berries, grant me holy syllables of your blues-laced tongues, perfect eardrums. Grant me sacred light of your blues. Grant me sacred light of your blues, doo-wopping Mac men. Grant me the holy flight of your eagle-winged life. Oh, grant me the tongue of your blues, perfect eardrums. Grant me holy flight. Grant me holy flight of your eagle wing life. Oh, grant me the tongue of your blues, perfect eardrums. Eardrums, perfect eardrums, eardrums. Beginning now with the formless mystery of love, informing it all, cadences, its ritualized celebration of birth as death, as drama, its copacetic language of blues. Inside the journey back, under buzzed wings of parody, textures realized and lost and found and lost once again. The slitting definitive answer of a pearl handle razor hissing through the dark's wailing wall, mystery, flesh, wallowing in its own gluttony inside the breath of death. Now hear the hieroglyphics of space and time forming, sculpting in winds from great distances, voices, shapes down way, way low, voices taking on colors, turning around, taking on shape, changing into blurring faces swimming, trying to breach this calligraphy of time and space and distance, voices down way, way low, spinning themselves, memory, phono disc. Voices, faces down way, way low. Voices spinning, turning, memory, faces, phono disc. Down way, way low. Down way, way low. Send back now the memory, further back than bone. See there now, the polished stones lifted and singing, becoming birds that are words, their wings being the holy myths that fill up our lives with movement. Now listen to the blood burning songs breaking through and into our river voice veins, climbing towards the plateau of the heart. Listen to the rains beating against the underbelly of those stones, marking worm deep earth bottoms where the narcissus of flesh rests. Listen to wind tongues, drums now breaking into flames, and wind trumpet songs opening up doorways to rivers. Listen now to hearts. Listen to rhythms of stones beating hearts climbing towards the dark. Listen to rhythms. You're soon to be calcified, worm-eaten heart. Listen now. I say listen now to the dark. We are the dark.
or dark hip-stitched voices climbing memories from the heart. Secret arpeggios of spirits clailing towards the light. Voices of weeping rains, teardrops hanging from that history, from history. Eyelids of that toad squatting city by the Mississippi River. Widespread arms of slippery catfish. Deep inside skulls of Mississippi River nights. Or dark hip voices stitched into fabric of those razor-bladed nights. Blues kneeling down to say, blues kneeling down before that packing house city. Widespread arms, slippery as cat. Fish, spirits climbing towards the cracks of moonbeams, slash light, blues kneeling down, moonbeams climbing toward cracks, slashed flight. Oh, sweet lovers of no faces, of all races, desert bone, dry eyes of no reception, none, no reception, pain knee deep in quicksand, who give sandpaper tongues of no sweetness, kisses cold as piranha teeth. Eyes digging scaly reflections in dirty mirrors, cracked and fading, become now a confluence of rivers, blood. Become now a confluence of rivers, blood. A confluence of musical faces, blood. Swimming through sundown, dusk, blood. The sonorous music of elliptical calibration spinning inside memory disc, blood. Stitched inside music, sing now, blood. Of wing prints, birds, climbing cadences, blood. Stitched memory, sing now of rapture. Swimming through river veins, bright of spirit of bones, bright as lightning in blood. Deep mud, bed of bottoms, beds of Mississippi River bottoms, where the ancestors sing now in sleep. Sing now a bone deep rhapsody, a memory of skulls, blue steep. Sing now a stone sculptured legacy. Blues, you know, blues, chisel morning. Sing now, sing now, sing a blues. But this road back, long gone again, long gone, back again blues. Long gone, I come back again to this river Mississippi, to this toad skull squatting city, catfish arms widespread and slippery welcome. Come back home again to these dry bone kisses, formaldehyde memories, eyes death written as 45 bullets. Come back home again, carrying my age strapped on my side like a revolver. All my young, quicksilver years running into this river, Mississippi River. Snakeback carry of dreams and home and home and home is wherever ancestors' bones are buried. Knee-deep memories live as dreams, become rib cages of memories built from death as a man holding the sun between his teeth, his smile a dazzling daybreak, a blue-black blues man, sun man caught the sun between his gap teeth, sprouted wings and flew away into the music. Now his spirit holds up the sky, his smile the golden eye, torching high morning sky. Snake back carry of dreams, Mississippi. 7 through 11 to win at the game of dice. I carry snake back river of dreams on my back. River Mississippi, where the spirits climb out of now. Move beneath the arches, parabolic flight. Upside down, question mark. Raises edge of a stationary pendulum slashing. The blue throat of sky turning now, turning. A skillet fried yellow now, turning. A skillet fried yellow now. Snake back curry of dreams. The song climbs now out of itself. Shaking river weeds, turning into faces familiar on memory disc. Spinning faces familiar as crushed cold dust. Greets me here, outspread arms. Filigree and cobweb drapes. Old streets where familiar buildings have been removed like abscessed teeth from the mouth of old fisherman Gould, who used to tell me all those great stories on Del Mar of the heydays of St. Louis before the scars came, yeah, before the mumbles came, and he lost his peg leg teeth like those abscessed buildings before he fell into senility and was pulverized by the pendulum wrecking ball of progress that is time, which is history's consuming fire, which is death and life at the same time. But this road that has been so long gone now is here again. Back of Glen Blues, long gone have come back to this muddy river again. To this toad-squatting city of catfish arms widespread in slippery welcome. Come back home again to all my quicksilver years memories running into this river, Mississippi River, snake back carry of dreams, river Mississippi, snake back carry of dreams. 7 through 11 I win at the game of dice. 7 through 11 I win whatever the game holds for me now, whatever this catfish arm city holds for me now. I win if only I can come back and go forward again at the same time. 7 through 11 I win at the game of Dice and the Blues, snake back carrier of dreams, 7 through 11, I win the blues. 7 through 11, I win the blues. I grew up on Vanda Vena, and I grew up around that area on Delmar and Leonard with my good friend James Bryant. And if you came out of the house anytime in the daytime, you could smell this certain smell in the air when we grew up. And this poem is called South Central Vanda Vena Street Rundown. At that time, to leave any house was to smell the scent. Burnt flesh scent hanging noxious in the air. And to leave any house was to know the odor. Burnt flesh hanging like death in the air. Yeah, burnt flesh hanging like death in the air. And to know the odor was to know where death came from. Packing house, slaughterhouse, burning flesh, blues, spreading the news about death. Burning flesh, yeah, spreading the news about death. And can smell it in springtime, can smell it in summertime, can smell it 7 days a week, singing air. In autumn time, in winter time, all the time, anytime. Burnt flesh hanging as death in the air. I say, burnt flesh hanging as death in the air. And you know, Big Tom was a black nigger man, cold and black. I say Big Tom was a black nigger man, black steel flesh, standing like a gladiator, soaked in animal blood, bits of flesh, wringing wet, yeah, standing at the center of death, buzzards hovering, swinging his hammer called death, 260 work days, swinging his hammer named death. Big Tom was a black packing house man, 30 years, I say, Big Tom was a black packing house man, loved them years. And swang his hammer like old John Henry, pounding nails, swang that hammer 20 years, crushing skulls of cows and pigs, screaming fear. The man underneath slit their throats 20 years. I say the man underneath slit their throats. Big Tom was apprenticed for 10 long years watching death. I say Big Tom was apprenticed for 10 long years smelling death. Was helper to a fat white man who got slow. Was helper to a fat white man who swung a hammer till he couldn't do it no more. So he taught Big Tom how to kill with a hammer. Yeah, he did. He taught Big Tom how to kill. And 20 years of killing is a lot to bring home. I said 20 years of killing is a lot to bring home, and drinking too much gin and whiskey can make a gentleman blow, don't you know? I said drinking too much gin and whiskey can make a good man show enough blow. Don't you know? Big Tom beat his wife after killing all day. His 6 chilling too. I say Tom beat his wife after killing all day. His young chilling too. He beat them so awful bad, he beat them right out their shoes, screaming blues. I say he beat them so awful bad, he made a red-eyed hungry alley rat spread the news about dues these black blues people was paying. Couldn't even bite them. Because of the dues these black blues people was paying. Big Tom killed 6 men, maimed a couple of hundred, and never served a day. I say, Big Tom killed 6 men, maimed a couple of hundred, never in jail one day. The figures could have been higher, but the smart ones, they ran away. I say, the number that was maimed or dead could have been higher, but the smart ones, they ran away. Swallowing pride, saved from the graveyard. Another day, the smart ones, they ran away. Big Tom working all day, 30 years, sweating heavy. Big Tom swinging his hammer, all right, 20 summers out of love. Big Tom killing for pay, 20 autumns out of need. Big Tom dealing out murders like a houseman all night in the pain yards out of false pride. Big Tom drinking heavy, drinking laughing loose in taverns. Big Tom loose in black communities. Death fights, cancels light, and Big Tom, he just keep on stumbling. and 20 years of killing is too much to bring home to love. I say 20 years of killing is too much to bring home to love, and drinking heavy gin and whiskey can make a strong man fall in mud. I said, drinking too much gin and whiskey can make a good man have bad blood. Don't you know, can make a strong man have bad blood. Big Tom was a black, was a cold nigger man, strong and black. I said, Big Tom, Black Tom was a cold nigger man, hard steel flesh, and stood like a gladiator, soaked in blood, bits of flesh, soaking wet, stood at the center in the middle of death, sweating vultures, swinging his hammer called death. 260 work days, yeah, 20 years, like old John Henry. I say, swinging his hammer named death. I want to change up and go back and read some early pieces and then move on a little bit. This is a poem called Chicago. A good friend of mine, Eugene Redman, and I, when I was teaching at Ohio University and he was at Oberlin, we went across the northern tier of the country and came into Chicago. And this poem is a result of that. I didn't dedicate it to Gene, but he knows he's in it. This poem is dedicated to Howlin' Wolf, great blues singer. Chicago.
The wind blade cutting in and out, swinging in over the lake, slicing white foam from the tips of delicate water fingers that danced and weaved under the sunken light night. And this wind blade was so cold and sharp, it cut a four-legged mosquito in the forest, while a hungry lion slept on the wings of some chitlins, slept within the blues of a poem that was farming. And we came in the sulfuric night drinking Old Crow, while a buzzard licked its beak atop the head of Tricky Nixon, while glutinous Daly ate hundreds of pigs that were his ego, while Daddy-O played bop on the box, came to the bituminous breath of Chicago, howling with 3 million voices of pain. And this was the music. The kids of Chicago have eyes that are older than the deepest pain, I say deepest pain in the world. And they run with bare feet over South Side streets, shimmering with shivers of glass razors that never seem to cut their feet. They dance in and out of traffic, the Friday night smells of fish and hog maws, the Scooby-Doo sounds of Bo Diddley. And these treats belong to the dues pair, to the blues players drinking whiskey on Saturday night, Muddy Waters and the Wolf Man howling, smokestack lightning. How many more years? Down in the bottom, no place to go, moaning for my baby. A spoonful of evil, backdoor man, all night long. How many more years down in the bottom, built for comfort? This is an old poem. I'm just trying to take you back and forward. I should say something about this. I went to Lincoln, Nebraska, because I don't like to talk about my poems. They have to do it or they don't, you know. But I went to Lincoln, Nebraska, and when I was teaching at Ohio University, and this guy brought me there, and he was a black man. And every time he would write me, he would say, Dr. Quincy Troop. I would write him back and say, I'm not a PhD, so don't write me Dr. Quincy Troop. He'd write me back, Dr. Quincy Troop. I'd say, I'm not a PhD, don't write me back Dr. Quincy Troop. So it just went back and forth three or four times. So when I get out, I invite you to the University of Nebraska to come read these poems. So I came up there to do that because he paid me some money. And he paid me some money, and he paid my way there. So I get off the plane. I got on a leather jacket, a little cap like James got on.
shoulder bag, some boots, and everything, and I didn't look like no college professor. I know I didn't. And at least not to him, you know. So I'm walking through the airport, and he's a brother. I'm the only black person on the airplane. He's the only black person in the airport. So I know it's him. I know it's him when I see him. I know it's him. And he walks past me hoping I'm not the one that he invited. You know. Unfortunately, I was, you know. So I walk about 15 feet and wait for him to turn around because ain't nobody else getting off the plane. You dig? I'm the one that he brought. He paid all this money for. So he says, Dr. Troop? I said, no, man. I told you this in about five letters. That ain't what it is. So I think he was a little shocked and stunned and everything. And this poem doesn't relate to his conversation, but it relates to what he did to me by putting me in his hotel without no record player, nothing. You know, he just put me in there, put me in the hotel, and I was stuck, you know. So and then it was the coldest night in Lincoln, Nebraska in 23 years. So the poem came out of that. I had to give you that preface because, you know, so the poem is called Weather Report in Lincoln, Nebraska. February the 8th, 1971. And it's prefaced by, and they said this over the radio, it is the coldest night in 23 years in Lincoln, Nebraska. So I was wondering why I was there, you know, coldest night. But the poem is about something else. Outside my see-through mirror, snow was piled in frozen sculpture, grotesque along the bleak streets of Lincoln, Nebraska. While on television, Apollo 14 streaked through unconquered space after photographing holes and collecting weird rocks on a moon that did not welcome them. Also on this day, America was invading Laos disguised as South Vietnamese troops. They recruited a lot of sly-eyed American dwarfs and hired America's best makeup men to pull off this standard American hat trick. And in Lincoln, Nebraska, the temperature was 23 degrees below zero. But it was colder than that within the Pentagon Rules executive tombs in Washington. It was so cold that nobody as yet has recorded the temperature. And this suited Richie Nixon just fine as he walked around naked, took a whirlpool bath in a tub filled with Laotian blood, while his handmaid, good old Melvin Laird, scrubbed his brain clean with a red, white, and blue soap bar of pure nitroglycerin. This is White Weekend. I call it White Weekend because every time it's something terrible, they say it's a black day. You know, a black moment. You know, a black plague. You know, the dictionary and the words play make fools out of us, you know. So I said, since it was a white man that killed Martin Luther King, I'd change that shit around. So this is called White Weekend. April 5th to the 8th, 1968. They deployed military troops, surrounded the White House, and on the steps of the Senate building, a soldier behind a machine gun. 32,000 in Washington and Chicago, 1,900 in Baltimore, Maryland, 76 cities in flames on the landscape, and the bearer of peace lying still in Atlanta. Lamentations, lamentations, lamentations worldwide. But in New York, on Wall Street, the stock market went up 18 points. I'm going to change this up a little bit and go someplace else now.
I don't like to read too long because I think that, you know, poets, you give a poet a microphone, it's over. It's over with, boy. Stay up here forever, you know. True. You need a hook. The other brandy sweetened night, we was kissing so hard and good, you sucked my tongue right on out, my trembling mouth, yes, Lord. And I had to sew it back in order to tell you about it. Catch the blues song of wind in your bleeding black hand. Wrap it around your strong bony fingers. Then turn it into a soft nose pen. And sit down and write the love poem of your life. That day began with a shower of darkness calling lightning rains home to stone language of thunderclaps, shattering the high blue elegance of space and time. A broken down riderless horse with frayed wings rode a sheer bone sunbeam road down into the clouds. Yeah. Spoke wheels of lightning spun around the hours. High up above those clouds, Duke Ellington wheeled his chariot of piano keys, his spirit now levitated from flesh and hovering over the music of Most High, spoke to the silence of a griot shaman man who knew the wisdom of God. At high noon, the sun cracked through the darkness like a rifle shot, grew a beard of clouds on its livid bald face, hung down. Noon, sky high, pivotal time of the flood deep hours, as Duke was pivotal, being a five in the nine numbers of numerology, as his music was the crossroads, the cosmic mirror of rhythmic gree-gree, yeah. So get on up and fly away, Duke, bebop slant and fade on in strut. Dance, swing, rip, float, and stroke those tickling gree-gree keys, those satin ladies taking the A-train up to Harlem, those gree-gree keys of Birmingham breakdown, sophisticated ladies, mood indigo, get on up and strut across, gree-gree, raise on up, your band's waiting. Thunder-clapping music, somersaulting clouds racing across the blue deep wisdom of God. Listen, it is time for your intro, Duke, into that other place where the all-time great band is waiting for your intro, Duke. It is time for the sacred concert, Duke. It is time to make the music of God, Duke. We are listening for your intro, Duke. Let the sacred music begin. Thank you very much. See, I'm trying to spare y'all, see? See, I'm trying to spare. I told him, Donald. You know? I ran it down to him. No, I want to read. I should have read this, but I have a son who's like little now. He is 31 months and 31 months old. And I think I'll read that at the end because we all come from. Small. My mother today gave me a shoe that I looked at when we were in Mexico and all that. You know, I was down there with my father and her, and the shoe was about that big. So the first thing I did was put it beside my 11s and a halves. You know, and you look at it and you say, damn, you know, did I get this big and ugly? But you do, you know. And so you get that big and ugly. And, you know, you get that big and ugly and stupid, too. So I want to read. I want to finish with this poem about my son. So I want to read just two more because I don't want to hold you too long. I really don't. Just wanted you to drink some, have some fun. I want to read this poem about a friend of mine who is from East St. Louis, and his name is Leon Thomas. And Leon Thomas is 6'6",
And Leon Thomas came past me one day in Manhattan and says, "Man, you ain't never wrote no poem about me." So I said, looking up, "Don't worry." "Don't worry, Leon, I'm going to do it." So this is the result of that effort. you know, the effort. I went down to see him at a club that's no longer there called the Tin Palace. And he was there with Pharoah Sanders. And this poem is called Leon Thomas at the Tin Palace. And then the next one I'll read is Porter at 18 months. My son is named Porter. He was 18 months. Now he's terrorizing us. Can't do too much. Leon Thomas at the Tin Palace. "I thought it was the music when in fact it was a blender. Grinding down the ice, making stuffings for drinks. But then you jump right on in on the downbeat, Leon, stroking rhythm inside time, inside the bar. Then people flew deeper into themselves, became the very air sweeping language to crescendo. Between feathers of touch, looping card changes, your voice blew down. Blues cries, field hollers. Mississippi River flooded guttural, stitches through your space, images of collective recall, Leon. Your voice strokes scatting octaves, ice grinding down still inside the blender, making stuffings for pina coladas. Then you scooped up our feelings again in the shovel of your John Henry doo-wops. Doo-wops, doo-doo-wops. Jazz through Ellington, Count and Bird, yodeling Coltrane blues cries, the history of Joe Williams sewn into the eyes of our eardrums, transmitted to the space between the eyes where memory lies. Your scatting licks brings us back dancing, Leon, in our seats. You kick swelling language inside your lungs, voice stroking colors, painting the creator's master plan. As Pharoah explodes inside the tone blender of his horn, inside the tone blender, tone blender of his horn. Ice grinds down, the bar jumps out of itself. Ice grinds down, the bar jumps out of itself, jumps out of itself. Ice grinds down, the bar jumps out of itself. Scooped up in the shovel of your John Henry doo-wops, blue as a Mississippi guttural river flooded. Octaves kicking back, black scatting, rhythms loop busting your chops. Feather stroking phrasing, Leon Thomas, yodeling octaves, sewn back black where they came from." And the last poem, this cat there is funny. This guy is funny, boy. What about the glasses falling? The glasses falling. What is this request? Okay, I'll do that one now. Okay. Jesus. See, that's what happens when you come home. You can't say no. See, they'll stone you on the way out. And you can't even say nothing. You just die, you know. Yeah, you know where I live. See, shit, they come over and kill your ass. No, this poem, I read this poem. I got scared of reading this poem because I read this poem, and then I read it in Berkeley. And it was a lot of feminists there. And they said, "Oh, that poem is a chauvinist poem." I said, "Well, you know, I mean, you know, I'm a man, you know." I ain't nothing else, but I'm just what I am, you know. So let me find it first. You hope so, right? where is it at? Oh, I don't even know where it is. Hold it. I'll find it. Don't worry. Okay, there it is. This poem is called Springtime Ritual. And this poem is dedicated to Hugh Masekela, because Hugh Masekela is a good friend of mine, and Hugh and I used to walk down Manhattan streets and look at ladies. And the poem is called Male Springtime Ritual. You know, in the spring, women start to take off the big coats, so men be looking, you know, be looking. So this is called Male Springtime Ritual, dedicated to my
friend here.
No, no, please, man. What is the auction? This is getting crazy, see? Leave it to Michael Castro, see? He'll do it to you, boy. Sneaky.
It's hard on male eyeballs walking New York streets in springtime. All the fine flamingo ladies peeling off everything the cold forced them to put on. Now breasts shake loose from straight jacket overcoats, tease invitations of nipples, peek-a-through through see-through clinging blouses, reveal most things imagination needs to know about mystery. They jelly roll, seduce through silk, short circuit connections of dirty old men, mind in their you-know-what young men too, fog up eyeglasses, contact lenses, shades. And most of these shown up hope-to-die lovers always get caught without their portable Windex cleaner bottles and so have to go blind through the rest of the day contemplating what they thought they saw. I mean, it can drive you crazy walking behind one of those memorable booties in springtime when the wind gets cocky and licks up one of those breeze-blown slip wraparounds, revealing that grade-A sweet rump of flesh, moving like those old black African ladies taught it to do and do. I mean, it's maybe too much for a good old staid Episcopal Christian chauvinist with a bad heart and a pacer. I mean, what can we expect him to do? Carrying that kind of bag, heavy baggage around, but vote for bras to be worn every day and abolish any cocky wind whose tongue gets completely out of hand, lifting up skirts of fine, young, sweet things. I mean, there ought to be a law against some things. I'm sure he'd say, reckless eyeballing. I'm sure he'd say. Anyway, it's hard on us men folk, streetwalkers in springtime, liable to find your eyeballs roaming around dazed in some filthy New York City gutter, knocked there by some dazzling beauty who happened along your field of vision, and who knows, next thing, they'll be making eyes paces for eyeballs. But who cares if you go down for the whole 10 count and never pull your act back together again, and so become a Bowery Street babbling idiot going on and on about some fine young flamingo lady you thought you saw? An invitation, perhaps? Who cares if her teasing breasts shook you every which way but loose? It's springtime in the old apple, and all the fine flamingo ladies are pulling off everything the cold forced them to put on. Their breasts shake loose from overcoats, tease invitations of nipples. But it's all a part of the springtime ritual. And only, only the strongest eyeballs survive. Porter Troop at 18 months. You slipped down into this world during dead hours of night. Alive, Porter Troop. Slipped down in a form already perfect, kicking a scream out of your now new ballooning lungs, older than time, young in this miraculous moment of celebration. You were the mysterious meaning of magic, the fused dialectic of passion transformed into miracle beyond these words. Now you speak in a strange tongue to birds, a confluence of syllables reaching for words. Now you terrorize the cat from his sun nap, reject me and most everything with disdain. Full of wonder, we watch you grow into yourself, charting your own course, like an explorer discovering new worlds opening up before you like flowers. And we are both amazed and afraid, knowing the way will be treacherously beautiful, having gone this way before. So we teach you binding words absent of miracles. Soon we will stand aside and let you go.
Thank you.